ॐ श्री महागणपतये नमः। ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ गणानां स्वगणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवेनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पद आनश्रण्वन्नोदिभिस्सीदसादनम्। ॐ श्री महागणपतये नमः। ॐ भद्रं कन्ने विष्णुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः सुष्ठुवागंसस्तनूभिः यशेमदेवहितैर्यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्ददातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So we saw the fourth chapter wherein five questions are presented. Which are the organs which are non-functional, inactive in dream, and which are the organs which are functional in dream, and who is the experiencer of the dream, and who is the experiencer of the sukham, and the last question is what is the adhishtanam of everything. These are the five questions asked. And we saw the first two questions, third question also we saw that mind is the experiencer. When we say mind is the experiencer, we say the mind manifesting consciousness or pervaded by consciousness is the experiencer. See, consciousness is not the experiencer. Mind by itself cannot be the experiencer. Mind associated with, blessed by, or manifesting consciousness is the experiencer. That again, what is experienced also, nothing but mind only. Mind means all the experiences stored in the subconscious. I can say subconscious, or here it is said differently, that all the vasanas, the mental impressions caused by perceptions one has in the waking state in this life or other lives, they remain collected of chittam in the nadis, and those samskaras alone become manifested, those samskaras alone again replayed, and there is a dream that we saw. So the dream also is something other, not outside of the mind. What is experienced also is not outside of the mind. There was said, then the last question was, who is the experiencer of the sukham that we saw yesterday? Experience of the sukham also is who? The mind only. But still, the mind there, that sukham experienced, actually is not sukham mixed with the dukkham. Sukham experienced in waking and dream is mixed with the dukkham. Whereas sukham experienced in deep sleep state is not mixed with dukkham. Therefore, it is not the something which is experienced as a result of the punya karma. But there's neither dukkham nor sukham, but that state of mind actually is because of the karma. When the parardha karapalam comes to an end, and it's a gap between the end of the parardha and the beginning of the new set of parardha. Every day. So every day, Upanishad beautifully says, every day the person is taken to Brahmaloka. And how this whole prana karma that's happening in the waking and dream is likened to a performance of a ritual, and how finally one gets tired and one is taken to Brahmaloka. It was poetically presented in the this we saw yesterday. Then later on, the last question is, who is the, and then actually when the question is asked, who is the experiencer of the sukham, there alone the concept of dream with reference to Shastra is discussed, it is mentioned. Because there the percept, the for the karma to be, for the experience to be there, as a punya papa phalam experience to be there, the mind must come, the jiva must come in as contact with the sense organs or the mind. The jiva cannot, does not come in contact with sense organs or the mind. Why? Because there is no karma. Therefore, there is experience of the sukham. And that experience of the sukham also is another than the same mind only. There also. But there, because identity happens to be with avidya, we call the jiva there as the prajnaha. The taijasa is known as prajna in deep sleep state, because identity is not with the sukshma, identity is with the just the avidya. The names change because in keeping with the difference in the objects of identity. If sthula identity is there, then we call the jiva vishwa. If the sukshma identity is there, we call the jiva taijasa. If the avidya identity is there, we call the jiva prajna. That's all the difference. The last question asked was, what is the adhishtanam, the substratum of everything? Where do all these things remain? Where do they exist? That's the question. And that is where, actually, the Vedanta answer, that is where the Vedantic topic really comes. That comes in the last mantra, 7th and the 8th mantra. The 7th mantra, the beautifully Upanishad introduces, what is the adhishtanam of everything? Everything means what? What is the adhishtanam of the sthula shariram, sukshma shariram or karana shariram? What is the adhishtanam of the sthula prapanchaha, sukshma prapanchaha and karana prapanchaha? Where is the subject and object, isn't it? Where does this division exist? What is the source of everything? That's the question. For which Upanishad says, in the night time, all the birds, they remain together as one family, in one nest, obtaining in a tree. And when it gets, again when the sun rises, they all leave and they go out as many. Again in the night time, they come back and settle there. In the same way, all these sense powers, powers of organs of actions, manaha, buddhihi, chitta, mahankaraha, all these jivas, all of them, jagat also, objects of experience, everything, they come out of the atma, and then again, when they go back and resolve in the atma. They originate from atma, again they resolve in the atma. Like what? Like the birds. The 7th mantra, the word used to mean the bird is vayamsi. Vayas means age also. But here vayaha, vayamsi means birds. Plural word. The birds, vaso vriksham sampratishtante. Vaso vrikshaha means the tree which is, where there is an their abode, the place of dwelling. The place of dwelling, the vasaha, the nest, is in the tree, isn't it? And the, all the birds, they all come back, the whole day they go in the morning, when it gets dark evening, all of them come back and resolve in there, settle in their own vasovrikshaha, their abode of dwelling, the place of dwelling in the tree. In the same way, tat sarvam para atmani sampratishtate, everything resolves in one Atma, all pervasive reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is Brahman. So, pare Brahmani, Atmani, everything remains. What is Atma here? Chaitanyam. Isn't it? Everything resolves in Brahman, the Atma, the consciousness only. So, what are all resolving? That Upanishad presents in the whole 8th mantra. It says, what are all the things which now exist in Brahman, in one Brahman, in one non-dual, secondless reality, Brahman, the consciousness, obtaining as the Atma, in that Brahman, what are all the things remain? As many. the different things where we can, we have to see the non, in one non-different Brahman, one indivisible, partless, whole Brahman reality, all these different seeming things exist. What all exist here? What all the things existing there? He says, first he says, all the grass elements, subtle elements. Grass elements, I'm just giving you the gist like, okay? The grass elements, and before grass elements, the subtle elements. The elements, the mixed elements, and the unmixed pure elements. Subtle elements and the grass elements. He says, prithivi, prithivi matra, apaha, apo matra, tejaha, tejo matra, vayuhu, vayu matra, akashaha, akasha matra. Tanmatra means what? The subtle element is called a pure element. Without mixing anything else is called what? Subtle element, isn't it? Tanmatraha. So all the tanmatraha means subtle elements, the corresponding gross elements, all of them, then, chakshuscha drashtavyamcha. He says what? The seeing powers and their corresponding objects of, objects to be seen. The seen objects. Seer and the seen. Hearer and the heard. Smeller and the smelt. Taste and the tasted. Then skin. Skin, this part, sense of touch and the objects of touch. This is sense of touch, the feeler and the felt, seer and the seen, hearer and the heard, one who smells and the smelt, one who tastes and the tasted. All the sense powers and the corresponding objects, we say what? The seer, hearers, etc. So, our perceivers of different objects and the perceived, corresponding perceived objects. And also, all the performers of different actions. The holder, runner, walker, you can say, isn't it? All these powers of organs of actions, with which you say what? The walker, runner, one who holds, one who speaks, the speaker, underspoken, and the act of speaking. Then, all the different powers of organs of actions and these actions and the objects of actions. We can simply say, Upanishad says beautifully, the knower known knowledge. Doer, isn't it? Doing, done. Karta, karma, karanam. The performer, the performance and the instruments of performance, actions. The knower, the instruments of knowledge and the objects of knowledge. It's called what? Triputi Bheda. Isn't it? All the threefold, the objects of threefold differences, the knower known knowledge, is it? Performer performed performance, the doer done doing, these threefold differences, all of them. Not only that, the knower known knowledge, the ahankara, chittam, memory, and all the pranas, and also, not only pranas, also the special brilliance, which, and also all of them, Shankara says extra, he adds also in his explanation, and then all of them, what now? Where do they exist? All these different things, the seemingly different things, different objects and things, remain in one indivisible, non-dual, secondless reality, Brahman, the Atma. This answer is given here, in that way. Now, what happens? Ninth mantra says beautifully, in sleep, there is no knower. Are you a knower in sleep? When you are in sleep, You do not know you are. Therefore, you lose the identity as the knower, hearer, smeller, taster, etc. The identity is given up in the sleep. When the identity is given up, there's no identity, you are there being free from doership and enjoyership in sleep. In sleep, you are free from doership and enjoyership. You don't say, I am the doer, I am the knower, I am the enjoyer. That's not there. So in sleep, you are free from doership and enjoyership. When you are free from doership and enjoyership, what happens? Then you are one with Paramatma. You are one with Paramatma means you don't become Paramatma there. You see yourself being non-separate from Paramatma. See, when you have identity, when you have doership and enjoyership, then you are isolated from Paramatma, separated from Paramatma, seemingly. But when there is no doership and enjoyership, when you see yourself being non-separate, when you are non-separate from Paramatma, is it? You see yourself being non-separate from Paramatma. So you don't need to become Paramatma, you're always Paramatma only. But when are you yourself, when you are not yourself? You are always Atma, you are always Paramatma, you're always Parambrahma, Chaitanya only. But when are you you? When are you yourself? When do you remain yourself? When are you not yourself? I'm always myself, you say that. You are Atma only. You can never become Anatma. You can never become Atma. You cannot become Anatma. You can never become Atma also, because you're already Atma. But when are you yourself? When are you not yourself? Whenever you have wrong identity, then when you have a doership and enjoyership, you are not yourself. Whenever you have no wrong identity, no identity, in non-identity, in absence of wrong identity also, what? No. Then you are yourself. You are free from doership and enjoyership, you are yourself. Whenever you are yourself, you are non-separate from, you see yourself being non-separate from Brahman. Whenever you are non-separate from Brahman, then you have that sukham. In sleep, even though you are ignorant of yourself, but still you have that sukham. Why? Because you are yourself in sleep. Why you are yourself in sleep? You have no doership or enjoyership. Why you have no doership or enjoyership in sleep? Because you have no identity. Is it clear now? But again the karma will wake you up. Whereas in jnanam, you are yourself, knowing you are who you are free from doership and enjoyership because you have no wrong identity in jnanam also. In knowledge, you have no wrong identity. Therefore, you are free from doership and enjoyership. Therefore, you are yourself. Therefore, you are yourself means there is no division in yourself. Whereas in sleep also, you are yourself because there is no identity at all. Therefore, there is no doership and enjoyership. Is it clear? The difference is, in jnanam, ignorance is not there. In sleep, ignorance is there. In both conditions, you are just yourself. When you are yourself, you are free from wrong identity, you are free from doership and enjoyership, therefore you are free from divisions. You are of the nature of divisionlessness, there is sukham. In being limited, there is dukkham. That's why being limited is being unhappy. Being limitless is being happy. Your limitlessness is happiness. You have to come to the order. Being limited is being unhappy. Being limitless is being happy. And therefore limitlessness is happiness. Therefore synonym. Therefore, there is no dukkha. Is it clear? So with that, so where all of them exist there now, saha pare akshare atmani sampratishthate, is nothing exists outside. First we saw everything is Hiranyagarbha. Ultimately you have to say what? Hiranyagarbha himself exists where? Only in Paramatma. Hiranyagarbha, I have to say what now? Absolutely everything is in Brahman only. The 10th mantra, see, whoever knows this, one who discovers this Paramatma, one who discovers the Paramatma in which everything exists as one's own Swarupam, there will be one sees oneself being free from gross body, subtle body. Oneself sees oneself being free from all impurities. One sees oneself being indestructible, imperishable reality, the consciousness. Such a person becomes all-knowing person, sarvajna bhavati. The knower of Brahman is the knower of everything. Knower of reality is the knower of everything. Sarvajna bhavati. By knowing everything, one thing, everything else becomes known as it were. How? Reduce everything else into mithya. Know the satyam. Everything else is mithya. Mithya means what? There's no mithya outside of satyam. Satya jnanam is sarva jnanam. In the knowledge of the satyam, mithya becomes resolved. In satyam, then what is as only Brahman means, knowledge of the reality makes one the all-knowing, omniscient. Such a person becomes one with everything. He becomes the one who is the reality, which is in the form of everything. You are not dropping anything physically, isn't it? Physically you cannot drop the gross body, physically you cannot drop all the impurities. Nothing is dropped here. To cognitively you resolve the identity, wrong identity. Cognitively one sees oneself being free from everything. The words are used. The same thing, what is in the 10th mantra is repeated in the 11th mantra. See, Jivatma has another nice name. But generally, the word Jivatma is always used as a Vijnanatma. This is special, you have to learn this word. Vijnanatma is the word used to mean Jivatma. Vijnanatma. Vijnanatma means what? The Atma obtaining as the knower individual. The Atma, the all-pervasive reality, obtaining as the knower individual is called what? Jiva. Who is Vijnanatma. No. The Atma, the consciousness, obtaining as the knower individual is called what? Jivatma. Otherwise called Vijnana Atma. This word Vijnana Atma is used to mean Jivatma in this Upanishad. Learn this. That's what I'm saying. That is mentioned in the 11th mantra. When this jiva recognizes the chaitanyam brahma, recognizes the absolute reality, when this jivatma jiva recognizes the absolute reality, wherein all the, which is the substratum, adhara for all these sense powers, all these powers of organs of actions, all these pranas, all these antakranani, all this mind, etc., when he recognizes as one's own swarupam, then what happens? That then he becomes the sarvajnaha. He has the status of being the all-knowing, omniscient. Not only that, then he becomes the one which is in the form of everything. He becomes the one who is in the form of everything. அனைத்துமாயிருக்கின்ற பரம்பொருளாகவே அவன் இருக்கின்றான். அனைத்தையும் அறிந்தவனாகிறான். Become the one who knows everything. Who? The one who has recognized the reality. Which reality? The reality in which all the sense powers, all the powers of organs of actions, all the pranas, all the mind, everything enjoys their existence. Everything enjoys its existence. In that reality, he recognizes as what? As one's own swarupam. That's very important. One's own swarupam. That person becomes the knower of everything and he becomes the one which is in the form of everything. How? For him, everything is the Atma Brahma. See, Sarvam Brahma, Aham Brahma, therefore Ahamidam Sarvam. I itself am Brahman, the consciousness. All that is here is consciousness. Therefore, I am everything. I am the whole. Is it clear? Aham Brahma Asmi, Sarvam Brahma Asti. Therefore, Aham Idam Sarvam. I itself am the whole. This vision one will have. Having this vision is called what? Physically, he may remain as an individual, being endowed with his body, mind, and complex. Physically, he has not dropped his body, dropped his anything. But he sees, he appreciates his fact of the self being free from the physical body, free from all these sense powers, being free from the mind. Achyapurush is the one who is said to be what now? Really? Sarvajnaha. Sarvaha bhavati, sarvam aviveshati. There is a verb used is sarvameva aviveshati. Sarvameva aviveshati. Avishati. He enters into everything. And physically he doesn't enter. He becomes the one which is in the form of everything. This is the last, the fourth chapter's last question also is now answered. So finally, see, Upanishadana, when you are doing, already the basic teaching has been done. Therefore, already you know what, how Upanishad makes you see the fact of there is nothing outside of the reality. And there is no, that reality which is simple with the term Brahman, that reality is nothing but Atma, which means the truth of every being. One has, which is recognizable as one's own swarupam, which is not an object. In the vision of which, there is no subject-object division, really speaking. You will see the division, but only relative. Absolute non-difference, you see the, in the relative difference. You see the absolute non-duality in relative duality. With this, the fourth chapter is over.